where would you like to see Chapters in the next, like in the next 6 to 12 months? What's your vision for it, Dan?
So that's another great question. I'll answer it this way, that another job of an entrepreneur at some point is to decide, okay, what are my aspirations? And it's totally okay to be a solopreneur and make a nice living. Probably the best advice is probably the best way to do it. But then there's also, I want to rule the world, you know, and I want to be the next Apple, the next Tesla, the next whatever out there.
Welcome to the AI Advantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solonox. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in.
Welcome to AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest today. I'd like to introduce Dan Karan. He's the founder of Chapters. So Dan, thank you so much for coming on. Just introduce yourself a little bit to the audience and so forth.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Again, Dan Curran from Chapters, serial entrepreneur, started Chapters several years ago and built it based on the thesis that we believe AI can actually save publishing, that editorial rigor and authenticity and AI can live in unison. And so we started out with that thesis, and so far, so good, and been able to really build up our company and grow a little bit faster than we thought. So yeah, that's what we do for a living and help people tell their story with AI.
You know, I really like, because, you know, kind of looking into it, I find it so interesting because it's so wide spanning about, it makes sense of how utilizing AI into the publishing material, especially now with everybody wants to have their own story with it. You have podcasting, you have, you know, ebook. It's kind of transcended and modernized. So, you know, for Dan, for yourself, were you always into the publishing arena, like, or into books and writing? So kind of help me walk through, like, of where did that start and where did that inspiration come from?
Yes. So I mentioned serial entrepreneur. I have started and ran and sold a few marketing ad agencies, always hyper focused on the editorial space, content creation, oftentimes very geeky, nerdy pharmaceutical or technology companies. Oftentimes we would interview subject matter experts at these companies. So really, really smart people are smart, like PhDs, clinicians, doctors, et cetera. Oftentimes they're very slow to share their thoughts and points of view. And so we would parachute in, interview them. And I did that for a decade. And that kind of evolved into what Chapters does now, but more on the nonfiction space and in the book publishing space. So it started out in marketing content, but now focused, hyper-focused on, you know, working with people to share their wisdom and life experiences.
Right. You know, it's good on this side because of, you know, I really just see on the nonfiction and wanting to kind of autobiographies of, you know, talking through of really bringing a voice to manuscript kind of way of changing the publishing side. So, you know, as was there a point onto it for when AI kind of gotten involved? Was it the beginning of ChatGPT? Where was it always your vision of this to implement this, or just as the technology really grew from our side that's when, you know, Chapters really flourished and you were able to kind of see it based off of your case studies?
Great question. You know, looking back, you know, I can grab a date where it was an inflection point. And certainly that was in November of 2022 when OpenAI launched ChatGPT. So that was a big moment for sure. But, it, you know, like any company, things evolve. You, like I said, you have a thesis and that evolves as any entrepreneur building a business. But since that time, you know, it was just pretty simple observation that we had enough content when we would interview people. So we didn't need ChatGPT or Claude or any of these large language models. We don't need the content. So can AI be used for other purposes? Because we have too much sometimes. You know, we'll interview people and we'll have hundreds of thousands of words and we only need 60,000 for a book. So we thought, wow, why don't we use AI as a living library, so to speak? We'll put all the wisdom, we'll We'll train it and make sure it has guardrails, no plagiarism, must have attribution, all that stuff. Now, what can AI do in addition, knowing that it, you know, we have to make sure it doesn't do those other things or does the right things. And there's a lot of features and benefits that AI can provide. It can organize the content. It can atomize, break it up. It can find gaps. It can identify duplication. It's really a great helper to especially editors. That's how we looked at it. And so at the beginning, kind of to go on about that a little bit, we also had to make a big decision. Are we going to always defend that AI can do good? We kind of decided to be ambassadors, more of an attitude that, hey, we're going to just try to educate people that, hey, this is going to be evolving. No telling where all this is going, but this is our experience. And we think editorial rigor and excellence can live in unison. And so that's what we try to do. And really, we're a very blue ocean strategy type business where we believe that the traditional publishing, book publishing space is very intimidating, very clunky, very artisan, and really a lot of smart people in that industry. And we felt like the smartest people we knew have never written a book, have never been on Substack, they're busy doing what they're doing. And how do we get those people? Because, you know, their wisdom, there's a lot of smart people out there, but they're, you know, if they die, then that's just gone. So how do we grab that?
You know, and I like how it has, like, as you mentioned, it's really, there's so much that you could see from the evolving side of this, right? And to your point, you know, with these large language models, it has really become a good assistant for us to kind of build up, especially I can only imagine from editorial perspective and go forth. So someone has all of this knowledge on the side and being able to utilize and train the models to be able to effectively ask the question, have that individual really think on, you know, certain nuances of their journey to make sure they brought in. Is that something just over time that you've evolved into it to knowing to ask the proper question, getting the right info out of the customers and the clients that you've worked with?
So it's a couple of ways to look at it. One, our particular business model, the real X factor is a human. So this is not, Chapters is not a DIY tool. It is a tech-enabled platform, I guess is what we call it, where tech-enabled service. So the most complicated part about Chapters is really talking about it right here. It's very simple. The author has about a dozen to 14 conversations with a human editor, with a rock star developmental editor. And developmental editors they're like magic. They offer sage advice on helping someone tell their narrative. And behind the scenes is AI recording the call, organizing the thoughts, getting rid of the editor's voice, and just focusing. And like Legos, it just continues to build this narrative. And it's more involved than that on the back end. We start with a blueprint and so forth. But for the author, we're just asking them to share. And more, I would say at least half already have a corpus of content already, blogs, white papers, podcasts. The large language model, the ones we've trained, that it's just text files. That's all it wants. And so we feed it into it. We've given it lots of rules. And any gaps, that's what the editor and the author talk through. So it's an accelerant. So that's kind of half our business. It's just bringing joy. And so it's really capturing wisdom, garnering expertise, people's life experiences. And is it amazing storytelling, you know, that will be a bestseller and be transformational to the world? That's a marketplace. You know, that's not for me to decide or anyone. We're just saying, hey, to someone, your wisdom matters. And to whatever degree you want to market the book is what you want to do. We're just in the capturing of that. And then the other part of our business we call Living Library, and it's a hub or website where all that resides. So even when they're done with the book, they can keep adding their wisdom and people can come to the hub to grab a blog, white paper, custom content. So we're just rolling that out this year. But at the end of the day, Chapters is like, it's not chapters of a book, it's chapters of your life. That's what we're trying to accomplish.
And I love that, kind of like seeing it in my mind of, you know, it's having a library, kind of a virtual library, each person's, you know, story as they want to place into it. Is that a right way to kind
yep.
of call that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's another analogy is like the Genome Project that, you know, took place in the 90s and early 2000s. That's for the, you know, the Genome Project, but ours is for story. Oral history is another way to look.
Got it. No. And so with that, that's a great point that you brought up. So with that, as the industry continues to evolve and shift, you know, what are you seeing, at least in the publishing and editor and really in the content creation side on your industry, what major shifts would you say like are now being implemented now with the utilization of these large language models, being able to effectively use data and so forth and helping with the publishing, you'd say?
Well, something's happening concurrently in parallel, and that is just, what does all this mean? Everyone getting comfortable, the whole disruption of it. And I don't know, your guess is as good as mine. It's if you're 12 years old, 15 years old, you know, 10 years from now, it'll all be ubiquitous. It'll just be what it'll be. So I think the world is just dealing with how much synthetic content do we want? There's a school of thought. So I'm kind of answering this in a different way. There's obviously a group of really smart people a lot of them are authors who think, hey, the next generation, they won't care. I mean, it's kind of ugly. It's not Nirvana here, but they won't care. They just want good content and music or whatever. There's another school of thought, many schools of thought, but the other big one is the one I belong to, is that there will be a desire for a distinction of music and any media that we consume. And so we think that Chapters is going to lead that charge in the book publishing or in the nonfiction space, that we want to be holders of what's authentic. So we're using AI against AI. So we're saying we use AI to organize and protect, but we're not using it to create. We're going to even help keep it from being scraped. And if it does get scraped, you can monetize it. So that's a maybe convoluted answer. But, and then as far as where it's going, knowing, you know, in the space that we live in, I'm very excited. I mean, if I'm an oncologist telling about how to eat healthy and not get lung cancer or whatever, and I'm sharing and I'm writing a book about that, and I can use AI to have more case studies and examples and know that it's authentic, but then it can happen quicker and I don't have to take a year to publish. I can publish it constantly. There's just a million ideas like that, that it's only good, I think.
You brought up liked that side of it, of what you were saying. There's going to be a distinction in part of your school of thought of, you know, you feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, on as we get further on down the line, you're saying that you want that people in terms of music, in terms of content creation, that they want to be more authentic and you want Chapters to really lead the charge on that. Can you delve a little bit deeper? Because I'm really curious on that, on your side.
Well, I'm not a musician and I don't make movies, but there is, you know, I've watched documentaries about how movies are made and all. There is nuance. There's magic. There's just that factor, that X factor, I guess, to use that term again. So I do know more about the book publishing space. Really, it's IP and a book is one output. And I think the human condition, the nuance, the vulnerability is not replicated by AI at all. And I'll give you a great example. When we're interviewing an author, AI is not going to get out of that author, again, vulnerability, nuance. That takes a little bit of trust. It takes the right time of the day. It takes an Oprah moment. You know what I mean? To to get them to cry and to get them to say, yes, you know, I did go through a divorce, but it wasn't all my wife's fault. It was also my fault, whatever, you know. Where if AI was just keeping track of your life, and it just doesn't have that. So do we as a society or as consumers of content in certain cases appreciate that grit and that stuff that kind of exists in the human condition? I do think so. Now, if I'm writing copy for a home I'm about to sell or something, you know, or writing a teacher a thank you card or something, I'm probably going to use AI, you know, sometimes. So there'll be different degrees, but I do think there'll be a home, I hope so, authenticity.
No, I think, and I feel like most folks, as you said, you'll kind of weed out some of the pieces, but even now people really value, and I think even more so with everything that's coming on with all the AI and the large, like people really value authenticity. You know, really showcasing the human part, right? Whether it's enterprise level or going back down to now in your industry on the content creation So, you know, with that, what have you seen that's really working well with chapters right now in today's, in the current state?
Well, I'll talk two spectrums. I have, on one side, I have authors that want to share their wisdom, life experience, trauma, something, and they only have a few thoughts in their brain, but they know there's a lot there, whatever their experience was. And they maybe have written a paragraph down or something. We have a lot of those clients, and we have that type of persona that is not even wanting to become a speaker or monetize or be a consultant or anything. They just want to share their legacy. And so we have that person. On the other end of the spectrum, I have like a savant bond trader in Chicago that already had written 300,000 words, and an average book's like 70,000. So this person was already a prolific writer and they wanted to write more, but it was disparate thoughts and needed it organized. It needed it to be written so it was empathetic with the reader, so the reader would want to read it. Chapters was perfect. Perfect for the person that just had a few thoughts. Perfect for the person that has a lot of content. And like I said, and in between that, we have a lot of people that have lots of blogs, TEDx talks, but they feel like that's their wisdom and life experience. So we can easily turn that into a narrative. We can do it easily, but it takes... generally, this editor is still involved to really bring that story to life. It's just like if you read a transcript of this podcast, yeah, it's good. It's really interesting. I can go and find some key points, but it's not an arc generally. Right. You know, right. It's a different media, but we can turn this into a book and it would say, okay, if I took this and dropped this into a book I was writing, there's probably some themes I'm going to talk about that have I'll mention again and again when I'm talking with the editor. So it just adds more, you know, special sauce to the book. And it's IP. It's IP, and let's protect it and grab it before I'm gone or you're gone.
You know, it's, you know, I always get into, because I love reading, you know, big, you know, really fiction like Star Wars or like adventure, but I also like reading, you know, nonfiction, understanding autobiographies of certain folks. And as you said, there's always a special sauce, right, of what goes involved into the book that grabs the attention, you know, that journey for that. So, you know, with that is when you kind of bring that forward, that obviously comes from the human aspect, the expert that brings involved. As you said, the technology is can only do so much of that. So with that there, has that been, when you bring that forward, has that been a cultivated over time, or have you brought over, is that just from your previous experience? Because the reason why I ask this is because of your entrepreneurial mind of this, because a lot of times on this podcast, what I've noticed, people of guests and so forth, the audience sees you're now this founder, large, making it can either be C-suite or CEO, but there's what's the thinking that gets involved to it? How do you get through these moments? So in regards specifically to that special sauce with the books, was that just cultivated over time that you just knew it from your experience? Does that make sense? My question?
Yeah. I mean, that's a big question. And, you know, if you ask 10 entrepreneurs answers, so I'll do my best not to pontificate.
No, just yeah. Whatever. What has been your journey? You know, what has been?
First of all, I think I don't want to glorify entrepreneurialism. It's no better or anything than any job anywhere. But I think it finds you. The problem just finds you. You don't go out and say, oh, I just want to start a company. I'm going to do it. You're like, I can't get that on my mind. And sometimes, you know, maybe it's a convenience store and you're just like, hey, I think I can do that and I can start a convenience store and it's a good market and I can afford it. And that there's that type of entrepreneur. And then there's an entrepreneur like myself that is, again, no better, worse, just a different. And that is, oh, there's a problem that no one else has solved. It's going to be 1 in 1,000. If I solve it, we know the odds. It always helps to have a villain. And if you're lucky, there's a good villain or one that's kind of asleep. And it doesn't mean they're bad people. It's kind of a overdramatic exactly. word. But in this case, just to jump to the point, in this case, the villain is traditional publishing. Traditional publishing, and I've met many over the last couple of years. I mean, these are smart people, you know, they have just really smart and they love the language and they love storytelling and good literature. I think they should keep doing that. However, you're leaving out, you're only grabbing in the nonfiction space, the people that kind of figured out all your roadblocks and invisible walls and all that. And that was the problem. I thought, wow, now we have technology. I can record, we can get stories. The market will decide if they're great, you know, if they're bestsellers or whatever. That's not my, but why are we, doesn't the world need more wisdom? It's, you know, it doesn't need more bad content, but I mean, who am I? Like, I'm not in charge of content gating. I'm just saying to someone it matters. So that's how I looked at it. So to answer your question, big problem, big, massive, to use a startup term, TAM, total addressable market. I just felt like there's just a lot of people out there and could prove it that would like to tell their story.
Oh, that's great. And so, you know, it's really interesting, even with my journey as entrepreneur, I didn't even think to myself to even get inside of it. I thought I was just going to be employee, you know, working in my industry. So I feel like it's really, at least I can speak for myself, it's definitely a journey of figuring out, you know, of course, you want to do the business, you know, and so forth. You want to make money, but what is the value that you want to bring forward? You know, I think that comes from us of really, you want to provide value, whether it's your a C-suite or maybe you're a CIO, a CFO, what is your part that you want to bring value into the market or just to other people?
That's universal. I'm glad you mentioned that, Sage. And the only other thing I'd say is, don't be a nonprofit. And I don't mean the nonprofit. I mean, don't be a for-profit nonprofit. Like, you deserve to earn a living.
Yes.
You know, the pressure on your family, all that kind of stuff. And I've done well doing that, and I've done terrible. Like, so I'm in marketing how I start. I'm very right brain. I'm not even a business person. I had to learn all that. I'm not like, no, like, I'm saying even recently, like, I like solving, doing this, but it's not a business. You know, sometimes you need that hard CPA or accountant or someone, a good best friend that says, dude, are you making money or not making money?
You get lost in the sauce
a little bit. Yes. Yes. I'm going to steal that. Yes.
So with that, you know, with that being so, where would you like to see chapters in the next, like in the next 6 to 12 months? What's your vision for it, Dan?
So that's another great question. I'll answer it this way, that another job of an entrepreneur at some point is to decide, okay, what are my aspirations? And it's totally okay to be a solopreneur and make a nice living. Probably the best advice is probably the best way to do it. But then there's also, I want to rule the world, you know, and I want to be the next Apple, the next Tesla, the next whatever out there. And so we made a decision, we're going to be in the latter. So we want to be the home for the next million thought leaders. We want chapters to be ubiquitous with anyone that has IP. So we want it to be a vault, a living library for everyone to have a chapter. So if you've had, and the reason is this, it's not like hyperbole. The reason is this, is that just to stick with authors for a second, a lot of authors are not becoming authors writing books. They're starting to go to Substack, or they're doing what you're doing, or they're doing TikTok. They're just like, that's too much trouble. And so we want to be a home. We want to provide a vessel for all of their wisdom to sit in a chapters, what we call a living library. We can help them with the book if they want, but we have this other product. And so we would like to work with every publisher. We'd like to just be universally everyone's friend and say, hey, if you have IP, you know, you want to store it here. And more importantly, you want to make money. And so maybe someone's not going to buy your book, but maybe they'll buy one chapter of it, or maybe they need it in Spanish, or maybe they need it at, you know, eighth grade reading level. All these things AI now and in the future will be able to be a kind of a force for good. So I told you early on, I'm Pollyanna about it, and very, you know, I just try to think, you know, if we have rules that you can't do these bad things, let's do everything else. So that's what we're focused on.
Love it. I love that. And then to that fact, you know, I always bring up, because even when I even did this podcast on the site, you know, it's good to talk about business, but I really, and you brought up a good point on that special sauce. And going back to our journey conversation earlier on, is I kind of coined the term, what I like of it is those rocky moments of having it to where you have those where you get knocked down, but then you have your victory moments. And, you know, with that, and people can really relate to that on a general level, regardless of where you're going. So, you know, with chapters and so forth, where was that moment for you where you fell down and then you hit that victory? You know, you got a hollow down, you knocked them out, and you got the title. Do you have a moment in mind for it in your journey that really kind of kicked it off?
Yeah, I have dozens of them. I mean, maybe some people have pretty linear, you know, the arrow goes up with no problems. I've never had one of those companies. There's always some train wreck or just soul crushing, you know, something happens, cash flow, staff, you know, technology, you know. So I'll answer your question. I'll think of one. Thanks for taking me back to dark place. I'll go there. I'm just joking. But what comes out of it is there still forward progress. And so that's where we are and have been for a while. So that's how the story is not ending, but where we are now. It's still people. You know, we have editorial involvement, we have tech people, we have staff. It's very, you know, we're very lean and mean. And, you know, when you hire contractors, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid as much as others, but we live in this very contractor, you know, that's kind of the new normal, which is awesome, but sometimes not awesome. So, you know, who's with you, who's not? When you're a boss or a vendor, people maybe take things literal or not literal, and not on hurt feelings or anything, just on direction. And it takes a while to build trust. So we've had those issues where there's some people that just, and then also, I'll give you a good answer. Sorry, it took me, I had to really think here. Along those lines, finding the right people, but on AI. AI is some people, we would interview and they would come on, especially on editorial. Yes, I'm leaning into it. I want to learn more, but they really weren't. They were really craftsmen, craftswomen with a decade or two in traditional, and they just really weren't intellectually curious about maybe how to use it as a tool. And we, in our case, our tool, which you have to be able to work with our clients. So, you know, sometimes you just got to find the right people. Not everyone is, you know, meant to be in a startup. Everyone I hire or engage, are you really sure you want to do this? Because it is up and down. You know, everyone's a Swiss Army knife. It's unreasonable sometimes. That won't make sense sometimes. So yeah, that's, yeah, but I think if you own the convenience store, you probably have someone that's working at your front, you know, counter probably has to have that same skill set. So people, and then technology, you know, this didn't exist. AI's existed, but that's another thing. We're building the train as it goes down the track. So you see how Gemini kind of is now leapfrogging. And I mean, it's going to be insane. It's going to be insane. So we build our model to kind of buff ourselves for any seismic shift and still have the human part. And but we have to think about that a lot. So it's very frenetic. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. It's imaginative. It can be very dynamic. You have to innovate constantly on, as well as the market goes forward.
And you have to, and the one last thing I was going to say, you have to have just in your business, you have to have a following or really super client, you know, super devotee clients. I can't recommend that more, because we all get caught up, especially in startup, that you have a solution to maybe a problem it's a problem, but it's not a burning problem. And that's a bad disease that a lot of entrepreneurs have. You have to stay really close to your clients, and you have to have them, they have to say, yay, they have to go, hell yes, that they love you. You know, like it has to be at another level. Until you have that, we got that early on. So then we knew we had something.
Yeah. I've realized even with mine that regardless of whatever industry, everything is built off of trust. Business is built on that. So that building that, and you know, I love that you've spoke on to that. That's the very beginning, that's where it builds off of these conversations, you know, at human level. And then they're able to see, what is it to work with Dan and his team? Okay, they do great work. He's actually a partner. He wants to really, he sees the vision, you know?
Yeah.
Does that be fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And if you have that, even if you do mess up, people are kind, you know, they'll generally work with you. But if you don't, you know, have what you just said, yeah, I agree. It can be tricky.
Yeah, it can. So with that, you know, kind of finishing out as we kind of go through, you know, this has been a great, I'd love to have you on, Dan, you know.
Thank you.
For folks and so forth, what would you kind of say to the, you know, to the person that is thinking about wanting to put their IP out or wanting to kind of go through, what are some challenges that you would alleviate? What would you tell them to kind of keep in mind as they're trying to go through this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. You mean as far as if they want to protect or market their IP or write a book or write Substack or all of these?
Yeah. What does it look like working with the chapters team that you could kind of provide, like for them to kind of think about in terms of that to help them?
Yeah. So the very first thing I would say in this, very obvious. If you have a life experience, a story, a philosophy that you find interesting, and we've got great technology, it's your phone, and just record these random thoughts and just vomit up anything and everything, because you'd be really amazed. You know, we're talking here for an hour. We'll both spit out about 5,000 words or more in an hour. So that's a lot. And like I said, a book is like 50 to 60, 70,000 words. So if you talk in a microphone over the course of several months or several years, you're going to accumulate a really nice foundation for a nonfiction book. And so before I talk about chapters, that's one thing I would do. Number two is if you do go a route of a book, no matter if you've worked with us or anyone, go to readz.com or Upwork, get an editor. If you have a lot of money, that'll be no problem. If you're broke, save your pennies. It's so worth it because not everyone can tell a narrative arc, a story, you know, that will hold someone's attention. And that's the editor's job. They'll help you. There's a lot of different ways to tell a story chronologically. You can have a couple of narratives at one time. Let them do all the work and help you. That's what they're there for. They're not coming up with this wonderful story, but they can help organize it. So I would just say do that. I'd also say be very curious about Substack and LinkedIn and all these vehicles and really determine what vehicle feels comfortable, a book, et cetera. And don't have FOMO. Do not have FOMO. It's if you jump into Instagram or TikTok, and you're not really, those are beasts. All of these vehicles, you got to keep feeding the beast. And if you're not, heart's not in it, or you don't have the time, then don't worry about it. You can still tell your story and it'll find a home eventually. Your family, your network, your business, your industry, someone will find value in your book. And then if you do want to come to someone like myself, it's chapters.io. And we have editors, and our typical profile of a client is, it can be someone very young, but it's generally someone who's lived something. Something has happened. I mean, we've had, you know, war veterans, which is terrible, terrible stories, you know, but also offer a ray of hope. We've had professional athletes, executives, a lot of doctors, so a lot of business people. So generally, people come into chapters want to monetize that manuscript. They want to put it out, publish it, market it, and then you become a speaker or become a consultant. And the book is truly a lost leader. It's a whole nother story, but most books don't sell like 1,000 copies, 2,000 or 3,000. But anyone who writes a book, if you're lucky, you sell millions, then that's great. But most people use it as a foundation, as a calling card. And I think it's a great calling card. Plus you accomplished something.
Yeah.
The statistic is like, in this world, nothing's like 95% of anything. And it's like 93, 95% of people who write a book are so glad they did.
Wow. And yeah, as you say, it really brings upon an accomplishment and so forth. And I love that one thought that I really take away from is the underscoring the amount of you talking to your phone now and bringing through on all these thoughts. As you said, like, now I'm considering of what you said, like in this conversation, it could be 5,000 words and there could be so much that you're gathering through. So that's one, that's such a small detail that's overlooked, but it's so much, it's so valuable having that. And then now—
Yeah, can you imagine, so you do that for a year and you do have 50 to 100,000 words but maybe it's disjointed, but you have some money. So go to Upwork and you get an editor, go to Upwork again and get a researcher. Let them do that. That's, you lived this pain or you lived this accomplishment. That's what, you know, no one should do anything on their own. You know, there's a tribe that'll help you get it to the finish line.
And I can already see just doing that. And then with all that content, just coming to chapters, since you've worked, like you said, you've worked in different areas of what you want to focus on, whether it's, you know, war veterans or, you know, business folks, C-suite. The you bringing that forward, I'm sure your team can be like, the wow, you know, Solomon or John, you know, these are really some great you know, gems in here that you're just talking that we can really add pretty and really build up the narrative of what you're trying to accomplish and what's your vision. So I really, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I'm a fanboy of editors, developmental editors in particular, because they just, where you start out, where you end will be two different places, and yet it'll still be the same, you know, corpus of your life experience and, you know, expertise.
Yeah. It's great. So with the Dan, you know, kind of finishing off, I always ask every guest this. So, you know, if you had that magic wand, you know, with AI, you know, as we're kind of scaling and growing, what would you like to see if there was no limiters on it? What would you like to have AI do, whether it's for yourself in your personal life or what, you know, what would you want to do for Chapters in your business if it could be done?
Well, I guess I'll be selfish and this isn't that sexy, but I still, you know, it's making inroads into being a digital twin or assistant. I still think it has a ways to go. I mean, I don't know about a lot of people, but, you know, I've connected ChatGPT to my Gmail and so forth, but it's still not intuitive. And I know that will come just really as a, you know, someone kicking me in the butt or a reminder, or how did I handle this situation? When was the last time I talked to some real just workflow-ish kind of boring stuff? I still think I look forward to it. I'm sure some people have it figured out and have scotch taped together, you know, some system. So I think just making daily productivity better. And then when you ask that question, the other thing that sticks out is just still the safety part, just because I'm a father and so forth. The world doesn't align on a lot of things right now. And I hope they align on some parameters on social media and certainly AI, just really quick, actually. You know, I think that would behoove us all that, you know, I know none of us like a lot of government in our lives, but I mean, seems like there's some things we can do to just protect people. And, you know, I don't see anything in my day-to-day life that I'm scared about right now. But, and, you know, we read about stories, but I don't know, kids have a lot of spare time on their hands. So we got to just make sure we got them covered. I think we owe it to them to make sure that they stay safe till they get that frontal lobe.
Right. I definitely agree on that, having the ethics involved, because I remember watching 60 Minutes, I think it was a recent one of, you know, AI company they were utilizing for children that they're going forward on chatbot. It's affecting their growth and so forth, that because they're AI is a big part of their day-to-day with a child, you know, with a 6-year-old, you know, and that can absolutely, it's dangerous on this side. So I think we're definitely seeing that we need to be very vigilant. So I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
No, this has been, and so, you know, with that kind of closing out, Dan, so if people that are listening to this, you know, that really want to, that C-suite executive, that athlete, because, you know, we've kind of catered to more on the professional side, like on the side, where, if they wanted to go forward on Chapter, where can they learn more? Where can they get that consultation? How can they pursue that?
Yeah, it's Chapters, plural, chapters.io. And you can also check me out on LinkedIn. So Dan Curran and Chapters, it's easy to find. And our pricing is on the website. Our process is on the website. So it's pretty self-explanatory, and would love to talk. And if we're not the right fit, you know, we have a lot of partners and vendors that, you know, we could share. And as I mentioned before, just I encourage everyone to record, write down notes. It's just technology is already there. You have more technology than you need. It can even organize it, and you'd be amazed how much you'll have accomplished over a year or so.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Dan, thank you so much. I really appreciated you coming on and sharing your expertise, because I never thought about publishing on this, but it's so valuable of this, especially after we integrate the technology and the expertise side on your end. So it was great having you. And for the audience who's stayed through, thanks for checking out on AI Advantage, and we'll check you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more No Fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at solonox.net.